Blog Talk Radio.
And God bless you. I am your host for the next 30 minutes, Patricia Williams. I greet each of you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for tuning in on today, not only on today, but whenever we have an opportunity to come on and to share the good news of Jesus. I thank each and every one of you for tuning in faithfully and for even encouraging me by sending me your email on how the show is really blessing you. But before we start, let us have a word of prayer, please. Spirit of the living God, I thank you. I praise you. I magnify your name. Father God, I pray that you will move by your spirit and move by the anointing, because your word declares that the anointing destroys every yoke. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would just move through these airways, Lord God. Let this subject and let every subject that is being taught on this radio show touch somebody's heart. Touch them, God, in a way to have encouragement and deliverance, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want you to share this broadcast with someone. And let them know that we are on Monday at 5:30 p.m. Central Time, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Let them know that we're on the air and that we are sharing the love of Jesus, spreading his word abroad. And anytime you feel like you have missed a subject or you need to go back and just recollect on some topics that we discussed, I just encourage you to go into the archives and to read them for yourself, and to not only read the scriptures, but also hear what God is speaking through the man and woman of God on these topics. Now, we're in for a great show on today, but most of all, I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to jot the number down in case you have questions or comments. And let me also let you know that I'm only on live doing 5:30 p.m. until 6 p.m. That's when the broadcast is live. After that, it is in the archives to be listened to. So we do record everything, but I am on live. And if you want to call in with your questions or with your comments, I do encourage you to dial 347-324-3622. That's 347-324-3622. I'm very happy and elated that we have been on for 6 years, and I thank God for that. 6 years, and it's been, I'm not going to say it's been rough. It's been challenging, because when a challenge comes to only test our faith, that's all it does. It just comes to test our faith to see whether or not we're going to shake or we're going to buckle under and we're going to fold or just throw in the towel. But I thank God for every challenge that had came my way, that I was strong enough and rooted in the word to pass it. So I thank God for that. So now, I want you to also check out my website, because I'm getting all the announcements out the way, because I know we don't have time for announcements after the things be getting good and everything. But I want you to also go to my website, faithisthekey47@simplesite.com. Faith is the key, 47@simplesite.com. There are some encouraging quotations. There are also a store that you may order my books, that you may order my sermons, or just to look or to shop, just to have an encouraging word to be dropped in your spirit. Go to my website and just browse through. And if God is leading you to sow a seed, only if God is leading you to sow a seed, because this broadcast has been on for 6 years and God has provided. But only if God has touched your heart to sow a seed into this ministry, please do so. You can PayPal me at faithisthekey47@gmail.com. That's my PayPal. Or my Cash App is the $ Trisha Joe. T is capitalized and the J in Joe is also capitalized. So now I've got the formalities out the way. We're going to talk about signs of a narcissistic mentor or leader. And everyone knows what narcissistic means. It's a big word that reflects of a person with a big ego attitude. But we're going to see how does it affect a mentor or a leader. And first of all, we're going to look at the definition, the Webster definition of a narcissistic, what the definition is. According to Webster, it is being self-centered, self-obsessed, having an excessive or the erotic interest in oneself or one's physical appearance, being self-absorbed. I cannot get my words right today, but I bind that spirit. Being conceited, self-regarding, egotistical, egocentric, and egomaniac. Those are the words or the definition of narcissistic. So we want to know what are some of the signs of a mentor or a leader with narcissistic. Hold on just a minute. Hello, Apostle Thomas. Oh, I'm sorry. Apostle AJ, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm blessed as well. I'm so glad you are tuned in. I was determined to get back here to do this broadcast because I heard Apostle Thomas teach it one time, but I wanted to get more in depth in it on having a narcissistic mentor or the leader. So now the people of God know what the word means. Can you just break it down on some signs that people should be able to see according to the spiritual realm of having that type of leader or mentor? I'm just hopping right into it because, man of God, we have that spirit so high and so functional in this day and hour. So the floor is yours.
One thing I will say, woman of God, is that we live in, oh God, in a time and a season where there's so many leaders who stand by so many different things that are not biblical but are very more dictatorship-like. I'm seeing a lot of situations where leaders are arresting people spiritually more than they are physically. And it's sad because they have the way to be so controlling and to be so manipulative until they can make people believe even things that are not inside of the Word of God. I'm starting to believe, woman of God, that we don't have in a lot of cases, a lot of pastors anymore and a lot of leaders, but now we have we have a lot of narcissistic psychologists who are now operating inside of the body of Christ, and they're figuring out how to infiltrate people's peace of mind, how to infiltrate that level of obedience, you know, as a guinea pig. And people fail to realize that leaders like this can cause a lot of damage, not just to the church, but they can also cause a lot of damage for those around you who you allow. Woman of God, I've been there. I've set a narcissistic leader. I felt like I was the punching bag. You know, I felt like every time something went wrong, it was my fault. You know, Keelan, it's raining outside. It's Keelan's fault. The flowers are the wrong color. It's Keelan's fault. You know, so I've had that situation happen. But you got to understand that the enemy is not only using someone like this, they are actually in cahoots with the enemy because they know exactly what they're doing, but they do not care because they are in it to make sure they maintain the power, and they're in it to make sure they maintain the control of them just being in their title.
Okay. Is it a form, and you said it right there, maintaining a sense of control, because they don't want the person to go above or beyond or per se to listen to someone else. Man of God, is it, I know that when it comes to being a leader or then being a mentor, there are ways you have to cover your congregation, especially newborn babies. You wouldn't compare this to as not allowing your congregation to hear someone else besides you. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is that,
I've had that.
That can lead. Yeah, okay. Can that lead to the same thing as well?
Absolutely, woman of God. And you know what that produces? That's even worse than a narcissistic leader. But you know what that really is? That's an intimidated and jealous leader who's scared that somebody going to come in and realize how bad the system really is that they work in. And I've seen that a lot, especially in my city where I am now. I see that a lot.
Yeah.
They don't want you coming in into the church because you're going to see how bad it is.
Yeah.
And if you see how bad it is, naturally you're going to look to the leader because the leader is the one who runs the camp. You know, so I've seen situations like that, you know, that's going on now. They don't want nobody to come in and don't want nobody to speak because they fear, they're fearful that it's going to be that it's going to be an authorized voice. And that authorized voice is going to call out and is going to uproot whatever is not of God. And they don't want to get caught in the tailspin of that.
Yeah, because I've seen it as well, because it's bad here in this city. It's like nobody else can speak to their people but them. It's like they have the word. Nobody else has the word for their people but them. And is so bad, because once they do get out and once their eyes do open, the first thing they're going to say, well, my pastor did not tell me this, and my pastor did not tell me that. But I have witnessed so many times, man of God, to where some people are so accustomed to their pastor's voice to the point to where they pastor have to go out somewhere to speak elsewhere. They will not even come to church. They will not even do anything, because a pastor is not there. Can you relate on the danger of that? It's like they cannot hear anybody else's voice, but they a pastor.
Woman of God, I'm going to tell you, I see that happen a lot too. And the reason why that happens is for two reasons. Number one, people are so caught up in manly things in this hour that they think that nobody else is authorized to open up the heavenly realm like their leader is. And it's nothing wrong with honoring the prophet. It's nothing wrong with making an understanding that your leader does hear from God. Mm-hmm. But they're not the only one who hear from God. You're not being rebellious by going hear the word. Long as people are preaching and speaking sound doctrine and they're actually under the unction of the Holy Ghost, you are not out of order. If your pastor tell you you're out of order, then your pastor is out of order. And it's not a problem for you going places and for you going hear other voices. You don't have to be scared of it. But a lot of times, woman of God, the reason why members are like that, even when their leader is not around, is they leader put the fear of God in them because they don't want them going nowhere to hear nobody because they're scared that they're going to leave the church.
Yeah. And then once they hear the good news or to actually get a divine revelation, they are ready to get more because their spirit has been touched and then they hunger for more. Man of God, could you tell me how a spiritual narcissist is very dangerous to the body of Christ?
Well, my God, I'm going to tell you this. And, you know, sometimes it takes foolish things that transpire to conform the wise. And to whoever listening on podcast today, I have a situation currently with a woman that I've actually had to counsel, and she sat under her pastor, and she did, you know, everything that her leader told her to do. Woman of God, this leader told her that she needed things for the ministry, and that she needed to do whatever it takes to go get it. God told her whatever it takes for her to go get it, no matter what it is, God going to provide, get it done. Woman of God, this lady went to a furniture store, and she went with her leader, and she told her leader she didn't have the money. Her leader said it don't matter, because long as it's not over X amount of thousands of dollars, they're not going to incarcerate you. Well, woman of God, she went with her leader and wrote a check for some furniture for the pulpit and for some areas of the foyer of the church for almost $5,000. Woman of God, woman of God, they incarcerated her. They're not incarcerating her yet, but she's up in court in litigation today as we speak. And she told her leader, can we pray? Can you, you know, you stand by my side? She said, oh, no, you on your own. God told me to do that. So if you ain't had it, that was on you. But you knew up front that she didn't have the money. And you still sent her like a lamb to the slaughter for her to turn around and for her to go buy all that stuff. I say all of that to say a narcissistic leader will sacrifice you in order to uplift them. So you got to be very, very mindful of what you absorb and how you absorb it. Because if it's not God, it's not going to be happening. And this situation, this lady, woman of God, is you know, under public humiliation in her parish. She's, you know, being dragged in and out of court, and she's getting ready to have to serve time in jail while her pastor, who didn't care that she didn't have the money, is sitting down in the high chairs on the pulpit every Sunday.
My God. My God.
That's a narcissistic leader. They'll sacrifice you to get what they want.
My God. Ooh-wee. And man of God, do they pray? P-R-E-Y. After the ones who have not spiritually grown yet?
Absolutely, woman of God. And it's so prevalent because it's so prevalent that we're on this topic. Because I've seen situations, woman of God, where people have came inside of the ministry, you know, at other ministry that I belong to, and they came inside of the ministry, and they were practicing lesbians. And the Lord had begun to deal with them, and they were moving. The pastor brought them inside of the church. You could see deliverance was going to hit, woman of God. Any fool could see deliverance was going to hit. The pastor drove them in the office and told them that it's okay for them to be that way because they're so giving and they're so loving to the church. So they turn around, and because they were paying $700 in tithes a month, she let them slide and let them do whatever they wanted to do. That is a form of not praying the spirit out, but praying on them so that they could stay bound. Woman of God, I've never seen a day and an hour where pastors keep their members so crippled so that they can have gain out of those people, or so that they can keep sons and daughters. And I've seen now today, woman of God, and it's so horrible. You got leaders making so many sons and daughters, and them people not more called to preach, woman of God, as they would be to drive.
But they let
them people do that, and they license and they ordain them because they know that that is a little puppet that they can control, and they know that there's something that's beneficial, and they don't want them to grow. And the reason why they don't want them to grow is because they'll find out that the same person feeding them is the same one that's making them a tall dog on a short leash.
My God. Yes, indeed. Man of God, what can you tell the ones that are bound by leaders like this? Because some of them, they want to come out, but they don't know how to come out. And they really didn't know what it was until this spirit has been exposed.
Woman of God, the Bible says, come ye from among them and be ye separate. That just don't mean the world. That mean anything that's toxic.
Yes.
That mean anything that's not healthy. That mean anything that can cause you to, while you're not trying to be you and you're trying to be Christ-like, to grow.
Mm-hmm.
If your church is causing you to be that way, if your leader is causing you to be that way, you need to seek God. And I mean really seek him and ask him for authorization to be removed. Because if it don't line up with his word, evidently he don't agree. And if he don't agree, then obviously I don't agree. Because if it's not sound doctrine and it's not led by the Holy Ghost, it's a ultimate counterfeit.
Yes. Wow. Man of God, I thank you so much. This was a very, very interesting, good topic, because this needed to be exposed, because I see it all the time, and it is really sickening. It is really sickening. Some leaders and some mentor are just uplifting themselves and just forgetting about God, and then allowing the people to make them their God, which is not part of God's plan. But I do thank you, man of God. I bless you and your family and your household. Until next week, y'all have a blessed week. And thank you so much, man of God. You
amen. God bless.
God bless you. Yeah, that'd be it. So,